impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Why is Scott Sherman already here? Does he think he's going to be part of the show?
I think he comes in and eats his lunch.
Can't hear me, can he?
No.
Okay.
Life can be so sweet.
You know, this is not it's not a cafeteria.
Street.
Use this as a place to eat. Well, wait, hold on, we do that. Okay.
With those blue.
I sure hope it warms up.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
All we gotta do is show a little class, a little sophistication, and we're in like a dirty shirt.
And that's no problem, Lloyd. We can be classy and sophisticated. Look at the fun bags on that horse hound.
Dumb and Dumber?
Yes. Ooh, yes, it is.
I got one. I got one.
I'll be rich as rock.
I didn't know what fun bags meant till I was 50.
Gold dust at my feet.
Look at the fun bags on that hose hound. Wow.
Isn't that what we just heard already?
Yeah.
That is.
I just had to repeat it.
No, you weren't listening.
What?
You probably were talking over there to Scott Sherman, and you didn't realize we just played that.
No, I wasn't. Said you were 50 until you found out what fun bags meant. How old were you when you figured out what hose hound meant?
I still don't know what that means.
I don't either.
No idea what that means. Well, it seems like Monday to us, but it's not, because we didn't work yesterday. But it's not Monday, it's Thursday. I'm going to have to say that over and over to myself so I remember that it's Thursday. Good afternoon. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. It's July 5th, the day after. Yeah, that show in the morning, morning after. It's the day after for everybody today. And then it's going to be weird because then here comes the weekend and then it's Monday. And then we'll kind of settle in. And before you know it, it'll be Labor Day and it's all over and it's fall and winter. That's the kind of pessimist I am. I can't enjoy anything because all I think about is what's coming.
I know a lot of pessimists, and you blow them all away.
No, yeah. I'm the worst.
You blow them away.
Yep.
Yeah, somebody said to me one time, why don't you ever have a positive attitude? I said, I do. I'm positive. Everything is not going to work out. I mean, I just am. So, you know, this time every year, we have to read about Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eater. 11th championship now, I think, in a row. I don't get it. I saw somewhere where he gets next to nothing for
ten,
that.
$10,000.
Well, that's not enough. That's not enough to just gag and possibly risk killing yourself choking down, what was it, 74 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, he's got a net worth of $800,000, so I mean that's...
Did he make it from eating?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
Okay, I take it back. I take it back. If a guy can make a lot of money eating, something we do, and not only do we not get paid, we pay to eat, but look what he's having to eat. Water soaked. Is there anything more disgusting than a hot dog with a bun soaked in water?
Well, he doesn't eat them at the same time. He does the bun, and then he does the dog.
I don't care how
does he
does it. It's disgusting.
Is that his technique? Because I've seen most of them, they get the hot dog, and they dip it in the water to make it softer,
He shoves five dogs in at the same time and chews them all, and then he shoves five waterlogged buns in at the same time.
No way.
I'm about to vomit just listening to it.
Scott Sherman interviewed him one time.
Well, Scott says he interviewed him.
Oh, he says.
Can you record it? Can we hear it?
No, he didn't. He's right here. He said.
Well,
he
how do we know? How do we know? He could be making that up. You know, people make things up all the time.
He can't hear you. He's coming in.
Oh boy, he's going to come in with a made up story.
Probably in the middle of the contest.
Hi, Scott.
We were
just saying how we believe you really probably did interview him because you have great credibility. Here's Scott Sherman, who's not supposed to be here till next hour to help everybody, but apparently he interviewed Joey Chestnut, the big hot dog eating champion.
I was in the other room practicing for next year.
Or you?
Yeah.
Did you interview him?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Why?
Because the other place had so many great, you know, production guests.
Producers.
For me when I was filling
team.
In.
Yeah.
So I said, well, what is the 4th of July without a hot dog eating contest? So I called this guy and he was really nice, and then he explained how he practices and trains for mm-hmm. not just this, but dozens of other eating contests.
And he's not a big guy.
No, and he's lost weight since I interviewed him. He runs about like 10 or 15 miles a week.
Everybody's giggling. What did we miss, Dan? What did we miss? Come on, share with the class. What did we miss?
How he practices.
How does he practice?
In the Central West End.
What does that mean? He practices eating hot dogs. Oh, okay. I get it. So what did he say?
I'm unfamiliar with that.
How does he practice?
He eats a lot. No, he drinks a lot of water to expand his stomach, and then he'll start to eat slowly several...
Wiener.
Dozen hot dogs, and build himself up like he's training for a boxing match. And it's not just hot dogs. Hot dogs is the 4th of July. They have all kinds of stuff they eat.
Wiener.
I'm sure there are pizza eating contests, there's taco eating contests. Martina Navratilova won that one time. The taco eating contest. I remember that.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah. He's a professional eater. This is what he does. He travels around to different eating contests, and he'll eat stuff. They'll have corned beef sandwich eating contest. They'll eat pickle eating contest.
Wings.
Wing eating contest. There's probably
Are we going to go through every food? No. You think he could have taken lard ass and Stand By Me in that pie eating contest?
This guy, probably.
Now, a pie eating contest,
nobody
at least.
Got that joke.
No. Lard ass? You're right. They didn't.
I haven't had lard ass in such a long time.
No, think about this, though. If I'm going to have to do one, and they go, well, okay, you can have hot dogs, and you soak the bread in water. That's disgusting. Or you can chicken wings. Or pie. I'll take the pie contest. Yeah. I'll take that.
You should enjoy what you're going to gorge on.
See, and if you're going to participate in a pie eating contest, in the movie Stand By Me, there's the fat kid who got bullied. His name was Lard Ass.
Okay. Yeah.
And he had to put his hands behind his back, and he was putting his face into the pies and eating them. You know,
That you've explained.
Yeah. But he drank castor oil before the contest, so he'd throw up on the whole crowd. Okay. Thank you. Shut my mic off. No longer.
Has anybody ever died from this hot dog thing? I mean...
I was waiting for them to choke. I watched it, and I'm like, how do these people? There was a guy who was 75 years old that was in it.
There's a women's division, too.
Yeah, see, like 40.
She, 37. For, I think she was half of what Joey Chestnut was able to do.
For a hot dog eating?
Mm-hmm, yesterday.
Well, her coach is Stormy Daniels. Got a good coach.
Oh, actually, hang on a second. Oh, no, wait, this was last year.
Can you imagine finishing second in that contest, and then like what the rest of your day's like? You just wolfed down 36 hot dogs. You lost the contest by two, and now you got to. Now what's the rest of your 4th of July like?
On the toilet.
On the toilet. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
No, probably a stomachache, and then head for the restroom. Isn't one of the leading women a little Asian woman or something?
Yeah,
it's real small.
Yeah.
Where does that stuff go? I mean,
in about 3 hours.
I don't get it. I just.
The guy that was his big rival for a bunch of years, a guy named Kobayashi, a Japanese guy, and he was really skinny, too.
I remember that.
A little tiny guy. But this guy makes six figures, and he travels around the country participating in these hot dogs.
How is it that nobody in 11 years has been able to beat this guy, though? I mean, just because he's a champion, and he knows how to do it,
Dude beat him a couple years ago, but it's basically this. There's him, and there's everybody else. He's got this rhythm down, and he can wolf down about 7 or 8 hot dogs every minute for the 10 minutes that it takes for that contest. And then he'll turn around in a couple weeks, he'll go off and eat some other thing. Butter or something.
I like how a couple minutes ago you said, wasn't some Asian woman about, she was kind of small. It's like, you know, have you ever met a non-small Asian woman?
No, that's really, actually, that's a good point. Because Asian women, now that you mention it, they're all little.
Yeah.
They don't gain weight.
Right. I never met a six-footer.
What is that they don't gain weight?
I don't think they eat a lot of sugar.
Well, there may be one exception. Yeah. But for the most part, any other nationality, you know, Hispanic women, white, Caucasian women, black women, gain weight. They don't gain weight. Little women, Asian women, don't gain weight. And I wonder what that is. We need to find out the secret to that.
I think so, too.
They don't eat a lot of sugar.
they don't eat a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Like actual Chinese food that's in China, like if you have, that's why they're all so slim and all that. They eat completely different to us.
Oh, yeah. My brother married a Chinese gal. Mm-hmm. You look in her fridge, there's nothing to snack on.
Yeah.
Because everything has to be like made. It's like, oh, it's all kale and like, you know, mm-hmm. roasted chicken. And it's like everything that's healthy for you. It's awful. I hate going there.
Well, who wouldn't? Okay.
I'm glad I could shed some light on this Joey Jeff.
Actually, you really didn't. You didn't even tell us much about the interview.
Yeah, how'd the interview go?
It was good. He lives in San Jose, and he picked it up. Just somebody dared him to be in a contest, and it turned out that he could just devour a lot of food very quickly.
I had a chance to interview the chestnut eating champion, Joey Hot Dog.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Wow, Scott Sherman, everybody. You're welcome to stay. I mean, you can sit in here or you can sit in there. It doesn't matter. You're here.
I'll stay here.
For anybody who may not know why Scott is here, every Thursday, Scott, look at this. We have a call. Did we do something? We must have done something.
No.
We must have done something wrong.
Calling about Asians.
Well, let's talk. Apparently, he's an expert. Yay. Let's talk to him. Bob, are you an expert on Asian people?
Well, I'm half Korean.
Okay. That would make you an expert to me.
Yeah. So, well, I've been to Korea, I guess, 8 times, Japan.
So what's the story with Asian women not being fat?
Well, the first thing is, you're not right about that. I've seen a lot of fat Asians. When I go to Korea, I'd say half the women are overweight, just like they are here. Just the ones that you see aren't overweight.
This is Bob with 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Who's been a listener for like 60 years.
Wow.
Thank you, Bob. So you're married.
That would make me older than you.
Now, you're not really half Korean. Your wife is Korean, right?
Well, she's full Korean. I just kind of.
Okay. Well, as a unit bonded in holy matrimony, the unit is half Korean. So,
no, my unit's completely American.
No, okay. See what he did there. Give him a rim shot.
Set him up, Frank.
Now,
she married me.
Now, you, how do we, and this is only natural curiosity, how do we tell Korean women from Vietnamese women, from Chinese women, from Japanese women, from Filipino women? How do you tell?
Well, it's honestly, I mean, I want to make jokes, but I can't. You really can't. I mean, you can tell by the way they speak. You can hear the language differences, but they're so blended. It's really hard to tell. It really is.
There was years ago somebody
mentioned. The Japanese lived and invaded Korea for about 40 years.
Right, but there was a difference in either the eyes or the face, or Japanese, Chinese. And somebody explained it, and sure enough, that was the one, and I can't remember what it was.
No, there's a bigger difference between Chinese and Japanese than there is Chinese and Korean, and bigger between, and the Koreas are mixed with Chinese and they're mixed with Japanese. And you just don't see that between Japan and China.
No, so what is...
So, yeah, they do look different.
Do we have Korean...
Japanese look more Caucasian. They look much more Caucasian features.
Than Chinese.
My sister-in-law, who's Chinese, says that she can tell the difference between somebody who's Chinese and Japanese, just like we Americans can tell the difference between somebody who's Italian and Irish. You know, like there's just little mini inflections of skin or in eye shape or in cheekbone shape, and there's just ways to do it.
Hey, Bob, when you go over there, do you eat dog and cat?
I've had dog, yes. Yeah.
Best dog I ever had. How was it? I mean, good?
It tastes like flank steak.
Do you know what kind of dog you're eating?
Dead.
No, you know that there are people who think that I got some emails from a couple people thinking they said I made that up when they were in Seoul, South Korea, whatever, the Olympics, and I mentioned that they asked the market people, the food vendors, to take down their dog and cat specials just out of respect for people who had those as pets and would have been repulsed by it. There are people who thought I made that up as a joke. Mm-hmm. They said nobody eats dogs and cats.
You're closed. You're done. You're not selling that here. They don't want that to be the image. And it's getting driven further and further out. You have a hard time finding a good dog in the city now.
Isn't there a whole dog meat festival in China? There's a whole week where all they do, they just eat nothing but dog meat.
China? When that Seoul, South Korea thing was going on, I read an article that still there are over 1 billion dogs and cats consumed in China. every year.
Wow. I mean,
and they showed video of the marketplace, and like, you know, we'll see a fish market, puppies laid out dead, and cats and stuff, and
yeah,
look, it's an animal, and people, you know, carnivorous people eat animals. And,
well, they raise a certain breed of dog just to eat in Korea, and I can't speak for China.
Yeah.
But just like we have certain types of chickens we use as hens and egg laying, we have certain ones we use as roasters, or certain types of cows we use as meat. They have a certain type of dog they breed. Just
do we eat rooster? Do we eat roosters? No, do we? I don't think we do. I don't think we eat roosters. Why not? It's a chicken. Why not? Why don't we eat them?
This is Dan's Central.
I know. I was just going to say they do in certain parts of the town.
Oh, Central West End. We're going back there again. And by the way, you can actually say if you're talking about a person eating a rooster, you can say cock eater. You can, because that's what they're doing. They are.
Yeah.
Well, they are.
Licking it off your fingers.
Okay. Well, Bob, it's always a pleasure, and you never fail to stun us with your knowledge.
Hey, I'm your go-to Korean guy.
All right.
Anything on Korea, you can ask me.
Thank you, Bob. Bob with one O, everybody. Thank you, Bob. If two O's, it would be Boo, and then that's just not Bob. Korean food. I guess we have a restaurant or two.
Yeah. So the deal with roosters is that poultry farmers sex the eggs after they recognize what sex the egg is after they hatch, and the ones that are male they get rid of them because the rooster meat's a lot tougher and it's not marketable in this country, and so they basically all the eggs that you eat would have been female chickens.
Is that right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. According to us,
every egg that we eat would have been a
female chicken. That's correct.
And what do you call a female chicken? A hen? Are they all hens?
A hen.
Are they all hens?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're all hens.
And do all female chickens lay eggs? Boy, we're really dumb about farming. We are.
According to this scientist at the University of California, Berkeley, there are very few poultry farmers in this country who raise roosters because there's no market for them, except for to impregnate the females to get the eggs at the actual poultry farms where all the eggs are made. So, you only need a couple roosters for every poultry farm. You don't need one rooster for each hen. They're not faithful.
This is really a stupid question. I used to know this. Can a hen can lay eggs without a rooster, right?
Yes.
It just wouldn't turn into a chicken because it's
right,
not
correct.
Fertilized. Impregnated with the sperm.
Apparently, and this is might be wrong, Tim, if you wouldn't mind checking out, but the egg is actually the female chicken's period.
What?
Apparently.
That is disgusting but accurate.
Okay. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it is the egg of the chicken is quite similar to what happens when a human goes through.
I take it back. I said they crush the eggs before the born. When the baby chicks are born, they're sexed after hatching, and all the male ones are destroyed.
Oh,
and they just nobody raises them.
He finally gets out of the egg, and he goes, "Oh man, what's this?" Oh.
When you crack an egg and it falls and there's the yolk and then there's the clear stuff that if you fry turns white, right after you crack, what is that white sperm looking?
It's essentially the placenta.
Yeah,
you can watch an egg become a live chicken on YouTube where they as soon as the egg is laid they crack it and then there's the raw egg right there and then they fertilize it as if it was still inside the egg inside the chicken, and you can actually watch it grow, and the actual chicken that's grown isn't the yellow. It's the white of the egg that becomes the chicken, not the yellow part.
Whoa.
Okay. I only eat the yolk if it's a fried egg.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I cannot eat egg white unless it's scrambled. It's all yellow. So I feel better. I'm not eating the chicken if I eat the yolk.
What the heck does the yolk become?
Well, it becomes the innards of the chicken. It becomes the innards of the guts.
Oh, great. Chicken guts.
It becomes the innards of the heart and the liver and everything else that a chicken has. But the actual body formation and the legs and the skin and the head is the whites of the egg.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, though, when I say crack an egg. It's yellow in the middle, and then all it's clear, but there's that white sperm looking.
Oh, no, you're talking about that tiny little membrane?
Yeah, that little white tail thing that's kind of all, what is that?
I think that's just what connects the yolk to, the egg whites.
No, so I don't buy that. I've never known what that was.
The umbilical cord, I think.
It's I want to know what that is, because my mother used to pick that out of the egg. When she'd crack an egg, she'd pull that little white stuff out of there.
I know exactly what
it's
you're
called. Eggshell membrane. It actually has its own Wikipedia page.
Eggshell membrane.
Eggshell membrane is the clear film lining the eggshell, visible when you peel boiled egg.
No, this is not clear. This is milky white. Okay. And it's like a little tail, like a string.
I know. It's like the size of a little
egg.
Small.
It's like a sperm.
Like a
It's like a little. Is it spermatozoa? What is the real word?
I have no
idea.
That
is the real word. Yeah, I don't think it is, because that egg comes from the female and then has to be.
So, still the question, what is that mysterious white tail?
I don't know precisely, but I think it's the placenta, because the growing fetus chicken has to eat something. It has to have some sort of nutrients. Hmm. I think that's what that is.
An egg yolk is a bag of concentrated food for the development of a chicken embryo if the egg is fertilized. So it's the food source. It's the food source if it's fertilized.
I'm eating nutritious stuff when I eat the yolk.
So which came first?
I don't know.
Chicken or the egg?
If my wife boils an egg, like hard-boiled egg, she will eat the white. She'll peel it, eat the white, and give me that yellow center, and I'll salt it and eat it. Man, I like it.
Mm-hmm. I like the white better.
Yeah, well.
Oh, I like that. I'm with
you
Frank
guys are a good
that.
Team.
Like
that
the
way
yellow, the
you can share one egg.
Makes you racist.
Mm-hmm. Right. It does.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're a racist
I didn't
egg
even
eater.
Think about that.
Hey, you want a bonus yolk?
But look how personality changes the food. Dogs and cats, especially dogs, great personalities.
Right.
I wouldn't even consider eating one. So I was unbelievably hungry.
If you were starving.
But just as a general food source, no way. It's repulsive. Because personality and sort of affection.
See,
but the poor chicken, look at that thing, and it could be in the family for 2 years, and it's fried chicken.
See, I agree with you. I think that, not so much with cats, sorry cat people, but a dog, everybody's ever had a dog will swear that times a dog is laughing or smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see you, happy, sad. Ooh, you know how they put their head down, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. No, what other animal, none, has that personality, has that those expressions?
None. Oh, I've never.
Maybe a chimpanzee or like an ape, a gorilla. But we don't eat them.
No. And I've never been moved to tears by a video of a chicken that needs to be adopted.
I don't know, man. Though I saw this
chicken.
I saw a
play
video.
Eyes of the Arms of the Angel. I have to turn the channel for some of these ESPCA.
There was one video I saw on YouTube, and it was a little chicken greeting this little boy home as he got off the school bus, and that was pretty adorable. Like, he ran up to give this little boy a tiny little
yellow
chicken
one,
hug.
The little baby chicks. Okay, I'll give you that.
Chicken hug. He couldn't run up and lick him, lick him in the face
like a
dog.
He
couldn't
like,
wag his tail to have a chicken tail.
He wagged his little chicken tail, and her little chicken tail, and she ran up and kind of like, I don't know, just stood there, and the boy picked him up.
That just
up.
Means that the chicken knew that he fed her.
It ran up and gave him a little peck on the cheek.
3, 2, 1.
No, you can do 3, 2, 1. You can do 3, 2, 1, minus 1. There's no laughter. There still won't be any laughter.
Now, the baby chick or the baby duck, like if I go to these Chinese restaurants, and they'll have like a fried or some kind of roasted duck, and it's hanging there by the neck.
Yeah,
I've seen that. I've never run out of one of those places. I'm like, interesting. But still, if hungry enough, and I'll eat that thing. And pigs. Man, a baby pig or a little piglet, they're adorable. And pigs are
bacon
really smart.
Bacon seeds.
But the food tastes so good that
wait
I look
a second.
At the
little pigs are bacon seeds? That's pretty good. Now, that's pretty good.
They're adorable, but yet they taste so good, it's a shame that they're going to have to go.
Isn't veal a young calf?
Veal I will not eat.
That's
veal,
like a
I will
young
not.
Calf, right?
Yeah.
It didn't even have a chance to,
no.
to
like
grow
see
up.
The sunshine, anything.
So is suckling pig. It's like a little baby pig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a Wilbur from the Charlotte's Web.
But see, I've never had a problem with slaughterhouses. See, I think that's why those things are on the
earth.
No,
they wouldn't. There would be hardly any cows except dairy cows.
I worked
if it wasn't for us eating beef.
You worked in a slaughterhouse?
For 2 weeks in England.
Yeah. Wow, former exterminator and former slaughterhouse. What kind of slaughterhouse?
It was a pork slaughterhouse.
So you...
Just pigs. All that. I wasn't up there. I didn't have to
do
any of that.
What did you do?
We just packed. We packed the pork. Like, eventually the butchers would, you know, kill the animal, then it go through the cleaning process and having its guts taken out, take out all the hooves and all that good stuff, and then we were the ones that kind of like wrapped up the joints.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there See, was a- I don't doubt that animals feel pain. You pee to people, it's okay if you don't like what we're talking about. Certainly they feel pain. But in nature, they feel. But go watch National Geographic and watch some cheetah run down some animal and while it's alive, rip it apart and eat it. That's pretty painful. That's nature.
Our job as humans is to not be cruel intentionally. The people that torture animals, you know, there are people working in a slaughterhouse that are sadistic psychopaths.
Right.
The job is the job. I love sausage. I left a ham sandwich in the other room to come in here, so I'm not exactly a PETA guy. I know he's not a PETA.
Tim went to get it.
But if we're not being cruel, and there's no other way to have something that tastes that good,
well, PETA
guess
people
what?
Would say it is cruel. PETA people would say when you hit a pig in the head or stun it that's cruel. Well, how are we supposed to strap them on a gurney, give them lethal injection every animal that we want
to
eat?
Well, no, their answer to that is we're not supposed to eat them.
Well, you know what? Then why are they here? Why are those animals
who
here?
Who weeps for the lettuce when you cut it right at its head and the cabbage? You know, you're killing a live thing by killing vegetables and ripping carrots out of the ground. If you want to take it to the ridiculous extreme, it's alive. Then don't cut a tree down.
Look at a horse.
That's ridiculous.
Look at a horse. Just look at the shape of a horse.
Yeah.
It almost is made as if nature said to man, hey, come jump on my back and ride me. Yeah. I mean, seriously, what the heck else would the point be? Or let me pull that wagon for you.
Sure.
And cows,
well, that's why women
let's have a hamburger. Huh? That's
not
what? What? No. What did you say?
I said I thought that's why women were made. I was joking. Come on and ride me and pull a cart. I was joking.
Tim, Gateway, PI.net.
Well, Scott's over here talking about why don't we cry for lettuce. I just wanted to take the show to a level lower than
if
that.
If you want to hear someone ridiculous person talk about, from PETA, talk about killing live things, I mean, you're killing a live thing by harvesting crops. They're alive. You don't wait for them to die. So it's a ridiculous conversation to both ways.
Sorry, did you see this? The newest reveal by scientists a couple months ago where they say the vegetables actually know when they're being eaten. Like, they know when they're being cut.
That is, you know what?
Well, who doesn't?
Okay. That's ridiculous.
No, I'm serious. Somebody actually came out and said, this is a legitimate thing. This lettuce knows that I'm eating it or when it's being eaten.
What?
Like, these plants can tell.
No. You can find an idiot. Just you know, there's actually a lettuce joke that I know of. There's one lettuce joke. I'm sorry.
I know one lettuce joke.
All right, go. Yours first.
What do you call a honeymooner salad?
That's not really a joke, but
that's not a joke.
What do you call a honeymoon salad?
What is it?
Lettuce alone.
Okay, kind of a limerick, a kid joke.
It's amazing how you ruin every
joke.
It's
not a joke.
He laughed and he laughed. That makes it a joke.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Lettuce alone.
Guys in young guys working in a supermarket in the produce department, and this great big hulking mean looking guy walks up and says, you work here? He said, yes, sir, I do. He says, I need a half a head of lettuce. And he says, well, sir, we sell heads of it. I want a half a head of lettuce. That's what I want. Get it. So he goes to his manager, the produce manager, and he flags him down the store, and he goes, hey, man, he says, there's some idiot who wants a half a head of lettuce. Can you believe it? What a moron. And as he says it, he realizes this giant hulking guy is standing right behind him. He says, and this gentleman wants the other half. So see, there's a joke for almost everything.
You know that comedian Dennis Leary?
Yeah, yes.
He's great, right? He had, when he was a young stand-up, he had a joke about the difference between
God, are you still talking?
Hey, he hasn't talked that long.
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm even for you.
Randy, go ahead.
About tuna fish, and they would get dolphins caught in the nets, and they're feverishly trying to rescue these dolphins from the tuna fish nets. And the tuna fish are like, what about us? Hey, screw you. You taste good.
Well,
so there's personality again. I bet dolphin tastes fantastic, but we don't eat it.
We don't? I thought we did.
The Japanese dolphin fish.
Somebody eats dolphin somewhere.
What's the porpoise of this story?
All right, you know what? All right,
now I'm taking a break. Now I'm taking a break.
Joey Chestnut.
No,
I should have
now I'm taking a break.
That's it. That's it.
Yes.
Oh. What are we, third grade?
That would be the joke on of third grade.
On a good day.
Yeah, okay, second grade. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Wow, they were closed yesterday. They're back at it today. Folks, thank you for a great June that sort of spread over a day or so into July. Thank you on behalf of Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Thank you for keeping them on this show for 14 years. Nobody will pay what it costs to have me do what I'm doing unless it's working, and I'm not going to do it unless I think it'll work for you. I'm just not. I never have. So thank you for all 14 years of making sure they knew and know that you're AM and the PM. Now, open for business today. Probably, man, you can still make it there. Open till 6. Open, as he likes to say, late tonight. Tomorrow night, rather. Late tomorrow night, 9 o'clock or so. And it's a Chevy dealership. And they sell the same Chevys that every other dealer sells. That's the truth. They all have the same, you know, they have Equinoxes and Suburbans and Silverados. So how do you distinguish yourself? You go, well, maybe if you undercut and sell things a lot cheaper. Well, if you sell things a lot cheaper, you'll be out of business. So the truth is, they're all fairly close in price. Now, I don't know that John would particularly want me to say that, but he'd admit it's true. They're not, these people that say we'll beat anybody's deal, nobody's going to beat Johnny Landoff's price on the Chevy. They're not. They might beat it by $1 just to say they did it. Okay, we'll cut it by a dollar. Who cares about that? You're not interested in that. You're not going to go halfway across town and save a dollar, but there's going to be no significant difference. The difference is in the way you're dealt with and the way you're treated and how hard they work to get you in the vehicle you want, get you approved for credit, make sure that when you come back, you don't feel forgotten. You'll feel like, well, the minute you walked out of there and they made the sale, they're done with you and on to somebody else. No, they want you to come back, and they want you to tell your friends and family and neighbors to come back, so they're going to continue to treat you right. And they're out to prove that all the people who think buying a car is a horrible experience have just never gone to the right place. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, 24/7 at Landoff.com.
Check traffic now with Tori Lyons.
This report's brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Accident cleared east and westbound 270 at West Florissant. You're slow southbound 270 at Dorset. Southbound 55 backs up past McNutt. And in Illinois, you're bumper-to-bumper southbound 55 south of Illinois 140. If meat and bread are the backbone of a sub, then Mike's way is the heart and soul. Lettuce and tomatoes, onions and spices all drizzled in the juice. That's the difference. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
We love our diehard barbecue enthusiasts. Any season, weather doesn't matter, they're barbecuing. But that's not for everyone. Summer in St. Louis can be hot and sometimes uncomfortable, but don't let that ruin the opportunity to have a great party. Let the Corner Butcher bring the barbecue to you. We cater to any size gathering, and the fact that we have our own butcher shop allows us to have a variety of offerings. Salads, appetizers, beef, pork, chicken, or desserts. At the Corner Butcher, we can do it all. We work hard to make your event a reflection of you without the hassle and stress of doing it all yourself. Check us out at thecornerbutcher.com. The Corner Butcher, proud to be your neighborhood shop.
Before I was running routes in Division I football, I enjoyed a great high school career. Even then, the best athletes were concerned with how they fueled their bodies and workouts. It truly is what makes the difference between good and great. One Nation Nutrition wants to help you parents by helping your athlete to excel in any sport and be their best. One Nation Nutrition can help you help them and make sure what they're putting in their bodies is safe, legal, and healthy. They don't put milkshakes in race cars, and you shouldn't be fueling up on that either. either. Good nutrition will help prevent injuries and give them the energy they need to have the best shot at achieving their goals. One Nation Nutrition in Wentzville, O'Fallon, and St. Peter's has meal replacements, post-workout recovery drinks, and energy bars to keep your athlete on track. Get to One Nation Nutrition today.
Check out any of the 3 One Nation Nutrition locations in Wentzville, O'Fallon, or St. Peter's. And make sure to come by the big party at 1127 Wentzville Parkway, July 28th from 11 to 3.
Doug Vaughn here with a word about a St. Louis institution, Ragazzi's. Ragazzi's is the oldest restaurant on the hill and is your home of the frozen fish bowl and handmade toasted ravioli. The pizza has been recognized nationally by Bon Appetit magazine. Plus, Ragazzi's can handle catering and private parties like rehearsal dinners. Happy hour is 3 to 6 p.m. daily and nurses' happy hour is 8 to 10 each morning. Enjoy lunch or dinner at Ragazzi's. You will love it. 4945 Daggett on the Hill and Ragazzi's.com.
Off the air, we got off on the what?
Bill Cleveland just sent me a text.
Yeah.
And he said, what did the one lesbian frog say to the other lesbian frog?
What?
Damn, we do taste like chicken.
See, and I thought it was going to be another lettuce joke.
I thought it was going to be funny. But we were wrong. We were both wrong. Uh-huh. Let me send you to Amini's, and I'll tell you what we were talking about off the air. Another food topic, and it has something to do with something I watched on YouTube last night. And over the years, I've seen this, and I don't get it. I just don't get who would do it or why they do it. That'll keep you hanging till I tell you about probably one of the greatest, coolest, most interesting stores you'll ever go into, and that's Amini's. A-M-I-N-I-S. Now, I realize there are people listening who are never near Chesterfield Valley. I mean, maybe you've never been to Chesterfield Valley. I doubt it. I think all of you have driven out 40, and you've gone, you know, once you get west of 270, and then you get out past Mason and Woods Mill and Clarkson, and then here you are all of a sudden, and whoa, look at this. What's all this stuff? Well, that stuff is all the stuff that would have been underwater 1993, when all of that area was 15 feet underwater, and now it's called Chesterfield Valley. It was before, but now when people say it, they mean thousands, and I'm not kidding, thousands of businesses, of stores, restaurants, whatever. And sitting there in the heart of it, with a copper dome on top, and I don't know who thought of that, but it was brilliant because it jumps out, is Amini's. Now, the other thing that jumps out is the inside of the place. When you walk in, the second you walk in the door, you realize you are in a store like no store you've ever been in. Stay in there. Don't, you know, give yourself 15, 20 minutes at least. It'll probably turn into 30 minutes. Your choice, not theirs, unless, you know. And you don't need to buy anything the first time you go. If you do, fine. If you don't, you just need to know it's there. And you need to know that down the road, a month from now, a year from now, a week from now, that fill-in-the-blank thing you've always known would make your home, or especially your basement, just a killer place to be, is right there at Amini's. If you've ever said, I just don't know where to get a jukebox. Do I have to go online? No. They have jukeboxes. They have pool tables. They have pinball games and arcade games. But they also have the finest patio furniture made in the world. Now, it's a little hot to sit out on the patio today unless you have the right setup with the right fans and the right shade and whatever. They have the greatest furniture. And there are other places that sell patio furniture, but a lot of it is mediocre and a lot of it's crap. It's junk. It'll fall apart. It's not going to last. It's not going to work right. Meanies won't sell that. Just do, I was going to say do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. If you've never been to a Meanies, just go. Just go. You don't need to say, well, I'll go next time I'm in Chesterfield Valley. This will be the reason to go to Chesterfield Valley. And tell them your AM and the PM, and that'll light them up. They'll love to hear that. And we love it when you tell them. A-M-I-N-I-S, heart of Chesterfield Valley, Amini's.com. Now, off the air, what we're talking about is peppers. Last night on YouTube, what I do sometimes when I go to bed, because I can't sleep, And they say this is the wrong thing to do. You should not look at anything like a screen, because then you really can't sleep. And that's probably true. But otherwise, I just lie there, no, I can't go to sleep. And I take stuff to sleep, and it still doesn't kick in for like an hour or two. So I get the thing, and I go to YouTube. YouTube, there's everything on YouTube. What do you want to look at? So last night, for whatever reason, I didn't mean to, but they one story links you to another, and I end up with these two millennial guys. And they're both going to, at the same time, bite into what they said was the hottest pepper in the world. And it was something South Carolina. It was
the Carolina Reaper.
Okay, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. Now, where does it rank in terms of, they said it was the hottest, you say, and Limey says no.
Well, I didn't say no. Limey says
it's not.
I thought that that there was a new one that would been discovered in Wales. But as I look, apparently they rebred the Carolina Reaper in April of 2018, and they tested that one. And that one is, the Scoville rating is...
2 million.
Yeah. It's like 2.2 million. It's ridiculous.
A jalapeno pepper has a Scoville rating of 8,000. This Carolina Reaper pepper has a meat that's 250 times more powerful than a jalapeno pepper.
Okay, now look, I remember over the years, knucklehead FM DJs go on there and go, "Okay, we're all gonna try this pepper." But these two guys, the minute they bit, and I could tell they're not acting. You, I don't know of any actor who can concentrate and force sweat to just burst out of their skin and their eyes to water.
Oh, it's torture.
These guys, I thought they were going to choke to death. They couldn't put it out. They were eating ice cream. They had stuff standing by. They had ice cream sandwiches and drinks. Mm-hmm. They couldn't shut it down. And the one guy says, he's trying to talk. He can't even talk. He's like, and the other one says, we can't stop this. I thought any minute the video was going to go down as the paramedics rushed in. It wasn't fake. Now, what is the point of something like that? And it had to be created.
To go viral online.
No. I mean, what's the point of a pepper like that? What practical use does it have?
It's just indulgent. It's silly.
And now, does something like this grow in the wild? Like somebody could accidentally stumble, hey, let's try this, and then end up...
I think something like this, it's where it's been cultivated. Like one seed has been taken from the hottest pepper, and then that's been planted and grown into a plant, and then they've taken another seed from that plant until we get to the Carolina Reaper right here.
So they, over time, just keep creating the hotter and hotter.
Right.
This guy Bob has been holding... I don't like for people to hold that long. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. What can we do for you? Bob? Now, see, Bob's gone. We made him wait too long.
Well, I mean, you were partially right. The guy that developed the Carolina Reaper pepper actually developed it in England.
Hey!
In Bedfordshire, England.
Hey!
Again, you got to check with those people and ask if they're still holding, okay? Keep them on. Thank you.
He says he grows them because he still wants people to eat them, but he wants you to eat it in moderation. He wants you to chop a little bit of it up or grind a little bit up and throw it in your dip or whatever. They grow them to be eaten, not to say, hey, we grew it just to be the hottest pepper ever.
And there are some people who love, at every table, almost every restaurant, there's that Tabasco sauce and then that unknown thing with peppers in it. I don't know what that is. I never use and never have used one drop of any of that stuff. I don't like choking. I don't like sweating. I don't like gagging. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't use it.
A little bit of crushed red pepper on a pizza can go a really long way.
Tim,
it's quite nice.
On the Scoville scale, where is a Scotch bonnet pepper that's used in Jamaican cooking? Where is that?
It is the seventh hottest. See, the Scoville scale rates peppers 0 to 100, 100 to 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 100,000, 100,000 to 350. 350 to 800,000 and 800,000 to 3.2 million. The Scotch is in the third highest category, and it's ranked as the seventh hottest pepper. It's right next to habanero.
And with the Scotch bonnet pepper, if anybody's ever heard of Jamaican jerk food, that's the pepper they use. But you got to take the seeds out and the stems, because the seeds and the stems have most of the heat. So you can get flavor out of a hot pepper, but if you load everything up and you're doing some kind of weird contest,
you're
never going to taste it. Yeah, you could absolutely
die. It constricts your... you can't breathe.
Imagine if a pepper spray device was loaded up with this Carolina pepper.
See,
you kill
that's,
someone.
That stuff's usually cayenne pepper or something, isn't it? The pepper spray.
You would kill somebody.
Your favorite
that.
Movie, Frank, Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber put the hot sauce on that guy's
yes.
peppers on his sandwich. He immediately started sweating, and he was out. He died right there in the restaurant.
He died. I'm telling you, I'll bet there are knucklehead FM DJs who die doing pepper eating contests. And I, look, I don't even
like.
We should
hold one and then invite them all to participate.
I don't even like a jalapeno. I'll take it off of anything, a salad. I don't want that thing on there. I just don't like it.
It ruins the food.
I love jalapenos.
I went years ago when I had a, I had a lot of motorcycles, but I had a new Harley. And so I went to take a little ride, and there were, I believe, three of us. And our wives. My wife was on the back, and we went to, we rode like to Herman or something. We stopped in Washington, Missouri for breakfast, and one of the guys with us had, everybody else had just, I don't remember, it wasn't really like a late breakfast, or late, but he had a bowl of chili. He dumped every, not only everything the table had, like, you know, Tabasco, and then that stuff with the little actual peppers sitting in it, and then he asked the waitress if they had any other hot, please bring all your hottest sauce, and he dumped every one in there and ate the whole bowl, and then, like there was nothing to it. I could smell his bowl of chili, and smelling it made me gag and choke and my eyes water. The fumes were so strong. Some people have iron stomachs. They do. And they actually love that stuff.
They do. And some of it seems show-offy a little bit. Hey, I can eat something hotter than you. Look at me. And it's like,
well,
it ruins food when it's too hot. What is the point of eating something that you can't really enjoy? You can't taste it. You're just trying to prevent yourself from having a heart attack. And that's what this ghost pepper contest eating stuff's all about.
All right, so we've confirmed the hottest pepper is, what's it called again, the South Carolina thing?
It's called the Carolina Reaper.
Carolina Reaper. And is it grown in Carolina? Or is that just the name?
It's from England, Bedfordshire.
Okay, why do they call it Carolina? Why isn't it the Bedfordshire Reaper?
I have no idea. Carolina sounds more exotic.
It's like people who create them get to name them.
Yeah. He probably named after his wife.
See, I've never been that guy when somebody goes, double dog dare you. Oh, well, okay, go ahead. Yeah. Double dog dare me, and I'm not going to do it. But I remember as a kid, there were always those kids that if you dared them, well, that settles it. I've got to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Jump off this building.
Now, there is another guy in the Wales who's applied to the Guinness Book of World Records to have his pepper known as the Dragon's Breath Pepper. Dragon's Breath Pepper. He's applied for Guinness to name his pepper as the most, as the hottest pepper in the world, surpassing the Carolina one, and the Guinness hasn't ruled on it yet.
But other than taste it, how is, I guess there's a testing device in the lab.
They burn it, and then they put it in sugar, and they run some chemical tests on it.
And then they don't have to eat it.
They examine the fumes that come off of it when they run some heat and some sugar tests on it.
And that's a Welsh name. Dragon's Breath Pepper. Mm-hmm. He should win just for the name.
The way they test it is they put it in the lab and then close the door and go home. And if they come back the next day and the lab is burned to the ground, it's the hottest pepper in the world. But what I'm talking about? Those kids that... And everybody had one at school. Well, all you had to say was, oh, dare you. Okay.
Well, who in this room or in the studio, counting Dan, hasn't been in a Steak and Shake at 2 o'clock in the morning after knocking back a couple and daring somebody at your table to eat that whole bottle?
I've done it.
Of that nasty pepper. Oh God! Mm-hmm. I've never done it, but I've witnessed bets and I've witnessed people try to do it. And I've witnessed successful efforts and I've witnessed unsuccessful efforts.
Yeah, and costing $10.
You're right. Steak and Shake has that stuff. I'm talking about where there are peppers in the bottle. Is that the stuff? That's pretty hot.
They're like little peppercinis, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And see, I've never tasted a drop of that stuff because it just looks
bad.
Well,
it
looks bad
to
me.
Very good.
No.
When I was a kid, they came out with a book called How to Eat Fried Worms. Can you imagine how many dares there were on the playground about this dude's eating fried worms? Everybody on my playground, hey, I bet you can't eat a fried worm. I bet you can't eat a real worm. And they were eating worms for just dares.
Did you?
I did.
It won't hurt you.
You ate a worm.
I ate a worm.
A lot of protein.
I did.
You can live eating worms.
I'm one of those guys. They dared me. I was in the third grade, And that was about the time that I decided I'm not going to take any more dares like
one
that.
One and done.
We've done a lot of fishing in my family with my boys, and years ago when they were small, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. They're eating minnows down on the dock, live minnows. Well, you can do that. It's fish. But I don't want to feel a minnow or a goldfish flopping around in my stomach. And they will for a little bit, and then they finally die. All right, we got to do some business, and then it's serious help people time with Scott Sherman. Legal advice at no charge coming your way in the 4 o'clock hour. I'll give you the numbers out of Tim Woodburn's news. First Community Credit Union announced just, in fact, this week, their first rate checking account, 3.01 APR. Now, there are some restrictions. There are some rules. There's some things you need to know, some minimums. You need to find out all of that. But I don't think anybody else, as far as I know, can touch this checking account. 3.01 APR, first rate checking at First Community Credit Union. Just another reason that the traditional banks can't stand First Community Credit Union. I'm sure it just, as Southern people used to say, it just galls them. I don't know what that means, but it galls them. They sit back and they go, how are they doing this? Now we're going to have to step it up. Well, keep stepping it up, but you're never going to catch up with First Community Credit Union. There's a reason. Where's that walk-up music we use?